Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and the late rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble, brethren, against one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We celebrate on this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, also known as Gaudete Sunday, which has to do with the idea of rejoicing at how near the Lord is to us. Advent keeps in our minds the coming of the Lord Jesus, his first coming at his birth when he was born of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, and his second coming at the end of time when all the angels will come with him and he will judge the living and the dead. When Jesus comes again in glory, it will be a surprise for us all, but we need to be ready. And the only way to be ready to welcome Jesus and enter into heaven when he comes again in glory is if we accept the things he gave to us in his first coming. He came to give us grace and truth. Grace is basically a living relationship with the Lord, which God creates in us at our baptism, and it's a relationship that grows and is sustained by the other sacraments. This is why it's important to go to Mass often and to confession and to be confirmed as a way to enter more deeply into this living friendship with Christ. And his truth comes to us in his teaching, contained in the scriptures and in the teaching of the church, the catechism, and the wisdom of the saints. His truth guides us on the way and keeps us in touch with the fullness of reality. We need to accept his grace and his truth now so that when he comes again in glory to judge us, we are ready. St. James gives us some very simple lessons on how we can be ready for the coming of the Lord. And he tells us in the reading that I just shared from his letter of St. James that we must be patient. He tells us to be patient for the coming of the Lord. One of the ways that we can practice patience is when we are waiting for something that is not certain. Sometimes you may have a Christmas party or something and you're waiting for certain people to show up to the party, but you don't know if they're going to come at all. And that sense of waiting for something that is uncertain makes you have a sense of uneasiness. You could be waiting for the result of a test or from someone in surgery. You can be waiting with patience for the outcome, but you don't know what the outcome will be. This uncertainty weighs on your heart. Then there is a patience or a waiting we can practice when we know that the outcome will be fulfilled. In fact, we know the outcome will be good. St. James is urging us to have patience with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus. That is, when his victory over sin, over evil, and over the devil and death will be manifest to everyone. We, in this regard, have to be patient towards something that is certain. Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We just don't know when. St. James urges us to establish our hearts, or to make them firm. He wants us to be rooted in the grace and the truth of Jesus, to have our hearts rooted in holiness of life. When we are rooted in Christ, then we have a sense of a strong foundation in our life. This is one of the ways we have to prepare for the second coming of Jesus, to be rooted in him, to live a life rooted in grace and in truth. And then St. James tells us not to grumble about one another or complain about one another. This is interesting because first he's talking about some supernatural reality of the coming of the Lord, and then now he's talking about something which seems quite simple and almost mundane. Don't grumble about one another, complain about one another. But the lesson here is important. When we start to complain about each other, then we are making ourselves a judge. It's as if we no longer care about the coming of Jesus, who will judge everyone. We ourselves now become the judge. Now, it's true, those who do wrong must be dealt with accordingly, but we cannot devote our lives to the cause of complaining about other people, of trying to tear them down or to get the whole world to notice how bad they are. Sometimes we can be so focused on the wrong that someone has done that it begins to live within our heart. No, we can't do that. We are not the judges. Then St. James tells us to endure hardship, to persevere. He tells us that we have this great example in the prophets. As an example of suffering and patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The prophets suffered tremendously and pressed on in the cause of serving the Lord. How can we understand this need to endure hardships? Well, if you think about it, there are many difficulties, many hardships and sufferings and sorrows we face in life, have faced, and will face in the future. Things such as betrayals, sickness, and broken relationships, economic and work-related problems, and death. There are so many trials that go around our lives. And as hard and difficult as things can get, we have to put our confidence in the victory of Jesus, and live not by the problems around us, but by the grace and truth of Jesus. Sometimes when trouble comes our way, we can actually become devoted to the trouble. We can think about it all the time. Someone can hurt us, and for 20 years we can dwell on what this person did to us. It becomes like a little god for us that we serve constantly with our thoughts and our words and our actions. It's as if we are rooted in the evil that was done to us. Can't do that. We have to be rooted in Christ. We persevere in hardship by devoting ourselves to the Lord Jesus. Christ must become our number one reality, not the hardships and problems around us. And how can we do this? First and foremost, by our daily prayer. Prayer is so important, because when you devote yourself to the practice and discipline of prayer, you're actually allowing God to be the Lord of your life. It's as if all of the problems around you have to take a second place now. You have to focus on the Lord. Then obedience to the commandments. We should see that our mission right now, our number one mission, is to follow the plan that God has for us, is to follow His commandments, to live a holy life. That's most important. And also, trust in the Lord. Trust that He made us, He has an eternal plan for our lives that is awesome. He will take care of us. Dear brothers and sisters, as we move along the timeline of our lives, let us keep our hearts rooted in Christ. He is our rock foundation, and His grace and truth gives us new life and gives us happiness. God bless you.